CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. Yes. Poor Ben had to turn around. He was on his bike on the way here. Yeah, it's sometimes the way he gets here. In the rain, he had to turn around. I didn't realize it was raining. Is it raining properly? Is it actually raining outside? I mean, like, what's the story there?
I'm squinting through a window. Yes, I think it is.
Ah, look at the roof next door is wet. Open this blind. Let's have a look. You see, we get stuck in the studio. We forget what the world outside looks like. Ah, beautiful morning. God, that is magnificent. Look at that golden glow on the horizon. Rain gently drifting down from heaven to touch you like feathers against your cheek.
Ooh, look at you, poet.
Listen, please. All right.
Rhyming, what's it called?
No.
Rhyming couplets.
No, that's just bullshit.
Oh, sorry.
That's total bullshit. I made that up on the spot. It's not even that good. I know people who are poets that can they pull words out of the air and they make magnificent sentences, and it's beautiful. It really is.
Well, didn't you have that moment with Peter Dirk Ace last week?
Peter Dirk
Ace. Interview.
You know, he speaks, it's almost as if he's thought through every single word in every single sentence. I would advise you, if you didn't hear the interview, go on to cliffcentral.com and just listen to it, because he said such beautiful things. I think one of the lines was that when he was growing up, his mother was all the consonants, no, all the vowels, and his father was all the consonants. Mm. I mean, what a beautiful way to describe stuff. And then he used another magnificent analogy. He every sentence he said was as if he had written it down, thought it through, crafted it, rubbed it out, started again.
Mm.
A brilliant man.
He described what music as the fragrance
of his childhood.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, what a beautiful way to talk about anything. I love, love, love that.
And then we just grunt our way through the day.
We go,
I'm okay.
Revolting. So, is it raining? I mean,
yes, Gareth, it is. It's time to precipitate.
Nice. Oh. How's it been? Hello, nice. Nola. Hello, Sia. Hello to you, and especially to you. Wow. Driving in this morning, I love this time of year. I said it a million times. I'll keep saying it. You look out over Johannesburg, which is usually a very ugly place, especially for people who are from Cape Town or people from Durban. People are from, you know, parts of the country where there's natural beauty all around you. Joburg is flat. It's fairly unspectacular.
No, it's not.
No, hang on. I'm going to get there. I'm going to say some nice things about Joburg.
Eventually.
I start off by keeping it down, and then I build it up. So the thing I like about it is when you are driving, like through Midrand, you're sort of on a bit of a crest, so you can see the whole of Johannesburg splayed out in front of you. Mm. And you can actually identify the different geographical areas, because you can see the skyscrapers of the CBD. You can see Ponty and that main telecom tower.
I didn't know you could see that far from Midrand.
Well, on a clear day, and today was clear. It was beautiful this morning. And then you can see Sandton. And by the way, they're building a building in Sandton, which looks like it's going to be the tallest building in Sandton. Have you seen it?
Yeah, the Leonardo.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that residential?
Multi-purpose, Gareth. Everything nowadays is multi-purpose. It sounds very jush to say office,
right?
Business, retail.
I do like it, though. I mean, having just got back from New York, you know, where you just have skyscrapers all around you, it's nice to see buildings going up. And everybody talks about Johannesburg, like, everybody talks about South Africa. Oh, we're, you know, failing economy, blah, blah, blah. It's nice to see some development. It's always a good thing to see development. I wish we were seeing more. But around, I used to have a flat in Sandton, and around where that is, it's unrecognizable now. There are skyscrapers just about 360 degrees around the place I used to live.
Mm.
I love that. Feels like a real city.
Yeah,
it does. It does feel very good. And obviously you can see actual employment. Mm-hmm. People are making those buildings.
Right. People are working.
Making the buildings.
Shit's happening. And I'll tell you what, I do love looking at that view as I drive in some mornings, especially when the sun's up and it isn't pitch dark, which it is now.
Yeah.
and you just see lights everywhere because you still got that sort of twilight feel, and you realize that those each light is someone awake, working,
making things happen,
living, feeding their family, doing a job, being productive, getting to work, whatever it is. I love that. This is it's really good to be part of something that's moving forward. And you can always pay attention to the news and it'll drag you down. You can read about government and it'll drag you down. You can even read about big business and sometimes it'll depress you. You know, sometimes we have Anthea in here and she doesn't exactly leave me feeling great. It's not her fault. She's just telling you the truth.
No, it
she's
is.
Just the messenger.
No, she could try harder.
Okay, Ben. Do you want to put that in the suggestion box?
Well,
why don't you?
First thing, Brendan giving us a little weather update from the East Rand. He says the East Rand is going to get rain today. Boksburg especially, expecting 8.1 mils. That's a lot of rain.
See, everything's more hardcore in the East Rand. Yeah. So here it'll rain, there it'll rain.
Yeah, exactly. Morning from a wet and cold Durban as well. That's Quentin. He says spring arrives and then it starts raining. I'm going to be in Durban this weekend. Shouldn't we play Sia singing in the first... Oh, someone's complaining. Please don't play Sia singing first thing in the morning. You've got such a fright.
Oh, people still have to... People need to say that? I thought that was just redundant now.
Yeah, I played a little bit of Sia singing to wake everybody up. Oh, God, I thought if you're not up at 6 o'clock and you need to be up at 6 o'clock, that'll do the trick. It's fantastic.
It really is fantastic. My singing, that is.
I'm sleeping on your talent, eh?
Thanks.
They really are.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you like it, Nolo? You've just proven you have no taste in music whatsoever.
I think he has something.
Really?
He has something going on. Yeah.
He does
absolutely
have something.
Mm. Music is supposed to make you feel things.
Oh,
and
persistent.
And singing makes
what does it
you
make you feel,
feel
Nolo?
Things.
It makes you feel, yeah, it makes you feel a pain in your stomach. You feel like you're about to give birth to cattle. All right, here, listen to this. You tell me.
You get transported to another world.
Yeah, remind me to tell you about two really weird dreams I've had recently.
Don't make me close one more door. I don't want to hurt anymore.
Wow.
Stay in my arms if you dare.
So I know it's Halloween, but that's not scary on all.
Don't walk away from me.
Oh.
No, I have nothing, nothing, nothing if I don't have
you. I love the way he tries to go all soft and gentle at the end. Oh my God, that's horrible. Horrible.
It's almost like my dancing.
Punishment.
And the music.
Punishment from hell. Yeah, Nolo came in dancing. I heard before we started the show this morning, Regulate by Warren G was starting.
I will throw them out on their ass. Just take them, just throw them out just like they did it. Just take them, just like you take a shovel, just shovel their ass right on outside.
That's right, ma'am.
You let them make sure they hit the ass so they'll never do that shit again.
Right.
Oh.
Thank you. There's an honest... listener appraisal of your singing and Nolo's dancing. So yeah, Warren G's Regulate came on and Nolo came dancing into the studio. It was horrible.
Oh.
A train wreck.
You two have to get started.
You kept
started.
A straight face though.
Oh well. I was enjoying the song. I just tried not. I tried not to look directly at you. It's like, you know when there's an eclipse, you don't look directly at the sun because you'll burn your eyes.
No.
The two of you in this team have hit the road. And you call yourselves two wrong. And they go, why is that?
Because we're right.
Two wrong, song and dance.
I'll, you know,
Sia can sing, Nolo can dance.
I feel
you
like
will
I'm
be
just
making,
so misunderstood.
You'll be using minimal talents from both sides.
You've got to get together. It's the corporate season now.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's your chance to
it's
make
a
music
season.
You guys could knock a lot of the big bands off the... By the way, speaking of big bands, we're going to have Zolani from Freshly Ground. Zolani Mahola on with us a little later on. She's going to be on the phone.
Yeah, she's big. She's small, but I mean she's...
Tiny, but
she's really big.
She's doing her first ever upcoming solo project outside of her work with Freshly Ground, and we'll find out all about that. She's doing a collaboration with a very successful team from Goldfish. Dom and... What's the other guy's name? No, he's not Dave. What is he?
Dave.
Is he Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dom and Dave.
Dom and Dave. Is it Dave? I somehow feel like it shouldn't be Dave. It's too obvious. D&D. But there we go, Goldfish.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Well done, Ben.
Askies, Benjamin.
Congratulations,
Ben. Ben gets something right.
No, you know I always sit on the Google just to fact-check sometimes. Yeah, Dominic Peters and David Poole.
There we go. All right, very nice. Thank you, Ben.
Why did they call themselves Double D?
Because they're two guys. They're not...
No, a pair of breasts.
Yeah.
So I had two weird dreams the last couple of days. The one happened, I told Sia about it over the weekend. I dreamt for some bizarre reason about Tina Turner. Now, I love Tina Turner. I'm a huge Tina Turner fan, and she's been so quiet lately, and apparently she's had some ups and downs, and she's had some really difficult times. Her son committed suicide. But I haven't really been paying attention to her in the news. I had this very vivid dream that I met, I think I interviewed Tina, and she was going around the world launching her show or something.
Oh.
Some kind. She wasn't performing, but there was some show in honor of her that she was going around the world publicizing. And I had this amazing dream where I had this heart-to-heart conversation with Tina, and we ended up like talking very seriously about stuff. It wasn't a normal interview situation, which, you know, she can't wait to get out of the studio because it's just part of her publicity tour. And I woke up feeling like I knew Tina Turner. It's the most bizarre thing you could possibly imagine, right?
Don't you find dreams are really... Because when you wake up, you still feel like you're part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel like you're going somewhere cool, or you've just had a conversation, and then as you get out of bed, it just, like, falls, starts like, sands away through your hands. Like, there's actually nothing there anymore.
Melts away.
And then you can't even patch the dream together. Then you just feel like...
That's the worst.
Oh. That's the most frustrating thing.
Anyway, I felt like I'd met and got to know Tina.
Yeah.
So maybe on some spiritual level we connected. I love that woman. I've always thought she was just amazing. You know, from those early days, Motown with Ike and kind of getting out on the stage and doing River Deep, Mountain High and stuff like that. Oh, man, I love, love, love her. And I remember confessing in the dream to her. I said to her, you know what? I didn't know you before I knew your music, but I reckon I just loved you from the start.
Awesome.
What an amazing woman. And she lives in Switzerland now. Didn't she have a transplant of some kind a while ago as well?
Yeah, a few years ago she had a stroke. Then after that she had kidney issues.
Yeah.
And that's when her recent husband, but they've been partners for years.
Yeah, he's like some rich dude, right?
He was a music exec. I don't know what he does now. The husband said, you know what, it's fine. You can have one of mine.
Wow. That's real love.
I know. I
have
know.
A kidney. Shit. I don't know if I'd ever give anyone a kidney. In fact, I know I wouldn't give anyone a kidney.
It was really...
Wow,
when I first heard that story,
that's
I went,
beautiful.
Oh, that's amazing. Then I was like, would I ever do that?
That's amazing. I don't know why, but, I mean, is there anything... Is Tina doing anything at the moment? The last time I saw her being interviewed, it was on Oprah's special or something.
Oprah's Next Chapter.
Yeah, and I specially made a note, because I don't normally watch TV, but I was like, you've got to watch this show, and I remember I watched it from beginning to end, just because I thought she was so goddamned awesome.
She has a...
She looks so good for her age,
a
too.
A theatre production.
Oh, really? Mm.
That was in the UK... And now it's moving to the US, so explains why she's doing so much press around it. And she's also just written a book where she speaks about her son committing suicide and her whole health issues now.
Whew. Wow.
Yeah, and this all happened in the space of a couple of months.
Yeah, but she's making the news. I mean, there's some recent stories, the last 24 hours, how she's talking about how terrible her life with Ike was, the kidney transplant that Sia alludes to.
Hmm.
Mm, the new book is called My Love Story.
Well, there we go.
Oh, I love Tina.
Should get her in, Sia.
Well, yeah, there's every reason in the world I want to talk to her now. I feel like we've already connected. And then I had this very weird dream where I was interviewing Anele.
Anele Mdoda.
Yeah, and we just we started laughing and we couldn't stop laughing. And we weren't entertaining anybody. We were just laughing the whole way through it, and nobody could stop us, and it was just stupid. And I knew that no one would listen to it because it was ridiculous. So we were just doing it anyway.
And you woke up after that dream thinking...
No, I realized it was dumb. I don't know. That, you know, your subconscious unloads a whole lot of stupid stuff, and it just cleans out the brain every couple of days, and you end up just getting rid of crap. That's what your dreams are often like that.
Oh.
Yeah, you're offloading unnecessary conscious and subconscious thinking.
Can I analyze your two dreams?
You can.
Try, at least.
All right, go for it. Oh.
You remember when we had, was it Caroline, the Tina Turner...
impersonator.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that dream could be in connection with that.
With
I
her?
I don't know how. Yeah, but
it's
her
funny,
being
you remember
Tina
her
Turner.
And I don't.
Yeah, but her being Tina Turner in that sense.
Okay.
And I think...
That's so obvious. That is, none of that is like such an obvious place. Here I was expecting you to give me some powerful insight, and all you do is go for the like lowest hanging fruit.
I'm keeping
it reminds
safe.
Me of... This
safe space
impersonator. What a shit idea.
Safe space.
No, can you put away your crystal ball now?
Yeah. No. The last one.
Your predictive talents are very poor.
The last
very
one.
Poor.
I think you are spooked by that Friday.
Which Friday? The drugs Friday?
Yeah.
Oh no, that. I spoke to Celeste about that yesterday. Celeste does our sales here, and she was like, she just walked into the room and she said she got high.
She told me that. And they just started getting the munchies.
Not good. The less we speak about that, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Not my finest hour. Not any of our finest hours.
File that into a no-go zone.
You want some emails? We haven't gone to the mailbox for a while.
Yeah, can we work out why your arms are so blotchy this morning?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
You got a rash?
I might be reacting to something.
Is that driver's arm? No, it's more than driver's arm.
No, there's some kind of reaction to something. I don't know what.
Are you okay? It's starting to spread to your face as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mm. No, don't panic.
Oh, my God.
You're panicking.
Are you feeling warm?
I'm feeling fine. But I did notice this just now. Maybe it's going to go away. It looks like it's getting better.
Oh, did you Let's use see. A new cologne today?
No.
Oh.
Same as always. We'll monitor the situation.
Yeah.
If I break out into hives and start sweating, and we'll know the Ebola has come to town. All right, so here are some emails. Hey Sia, the movie is beautiful. Take lots of tissues. I don't know what movie this is because this could have been a long time ago.
It's the movie with Lady Gaga.
That's right, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. That's it. Thank you, Ben. Take lots of tissues. I've always been a Gaga fan, but I now love her even more. Bradley's singing is surprisingly good, too. Movie DVD. Yes, the DVD and soundtrack will be on my Christmas list. Go and watch it. You won't regret it. There's a nice email. And you are not alone, Gareth. I am friends with my exes. We spoke about this yesterday between 6 and 6:30. If you don't know what we're talking about. Even friends with their wives and or partners. I think it means we're adult enough to know that it's in the past. Don't let Ben tell you it's not normal. Ben, someone correcting you there.
Don't let Ben do anything.
I think holding a grudge is too much hard work and it's unnecessary.
Yeah,
have a good day, regards, Elaine.
I don't think, Elaine, you're right. I think the point I was making wasn't about holding a grudge. It's just some people can't emotionally deal with being around other people because of fiery interactions in the past.
Well, I think a lot of people also like to hold on to that stuff. It makes them feel special.
That too.
I mean, in the last couple of weeks, I've heard from two friends who have had really rough breakups, and one is not dealing with it very well. I mean, I'm not the guy you go to when you break up with someone. I'm not going to, I don't know how to offer any kind of assistance there. But I've heard these via the grapevine. It's not like they came and decided they were going to unload this emotional shit on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard about these. One is dealing with it well, and the other one, she's not having such a good time. It's everybody, from person to person, it varies.
Yeah.
You don't really know. It can work for you, it can work against you, you know? It's tough. Like, your emotions get the better of you in some situations, and you don't know how to react, and you can't always control that reaction. And I feel bad for people who are going through that kind of breakup. Any time of year, but especially now, because this is meant to be the time where you spend a little bit of time with the people you love, and you get to be with family and friends. And if you've just gone through a breakup, you have to explain that to everybody because you see them at Christmas functions.
Yes.
You know, where's your girlfriend? Where's your boyfriend? No, we broke up. Oh, shit. Now you have to explain to everyone what went wrong, and they want to know who broke up with who. And people are so nosy. They ask these questions. They have no shame.
They're asking out of care.
Yeah, sure. Here's a nice email from Jameen. God, I have to say, Ben is such a broken record.
Did you say nice?
Yeah.
Email?
Yes. Okay. Everything is, well, is anything in South Africa great anymore? Because it was so great before. Ugh. So annoying, he says. Happy you're back, Gareth. Love you guys. So that came in last week.
What pile of shit?
Fabulous name, though. Jameen.
That's great. Jameen, yeah. You are mean. Gareth, it's your resident Game Reserve listener, Lauren. So Lauren says, I've been to both New York and San Francisco. The insanity scale is the same, if not more, in San Fran. I stayed in at a hotel in Union Square in San Francisco on my first night. I'd just taken a sleeping tablet to help with the jet lag, and suddenly I decided I had to have something to eat. What a terror. I headed out at 6 in the evening, completely zonked, straight into a sea of American crazies. From hobos playing drunken trumpet on the corner to people speaking quietly to themselves with darting eyes walking very quickly. The coat flashes and people coming up to me to offer their special knives. Good God. I've heard the homeless problem in San Fran is just out of control.
Oh, even the people who go there to make things happen and then...
Well, just people who used to live there. I mean, well, the real estate there is ridiculous.
Yeah, these big cities are like a magnet to... people who have mental health issues, because they get attracted to the, you know, the bright lights and the big opportunity and the dream, and then they get there and they realize it's a disaster and they end up on the street, and then that makes them even more mentally unstable because now they're spiraling down. So then they become a magnet for other crazy people because they give each other attention. It's the whole thing. I mean, people have done proper studies on this. I'm just quoting very willy-nilly from them, from gleaning the surface information, but it's a horrible place to find yourself in a big city when you're crazy. And by crazy, you know what I mean. We're respectful of mental health and all that stuff, but you know what I mean when I say crazy. A particular highlight of my Blair request for food was having a homeless Tourette's woman waiting in the line behind me repeatedly shouting, "Motherfucker cock whore," in random increments. Anyway, I think it is safe to say that we may have found our dear old Triple M, that's the woman from SARS, a place where she would feel right at home. She would fit in immediately. Let's ship her off. Safe to say, in doing this, we are all protecting her from herself. That's all, Lauren.
You know, and I've watched documentaries around Tourette's, and I always pay particular attention when an interview around Tourette's pops up, but I've never quite understood why people with Tourette's will just commonly go to repeating swear words as opposed to repeating apple, banana, orange, you know?
I don't know why.
A lot of them...
But it's hilarious.
Well, I think our minds go to dark places.
Yeah, that's probably it. I think you're onto something.
Can't help it.
And particularly if you are stressed, and for a lot of these people, they know that lack of control is something... They have no way of steering, right?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
Very tough. I mean, let's go to the lines and see what this guy has to say. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Fuck you!
You see? There we go.
Again. Him. He's always so angry.
Very angry. Here's one from Allison. Thanks for a great show this morning. Missed you guys. I have a new iPhone. I've downloaded your app and podcast, and I can listen anywhere without even using data or Wi-Fi. All I have to do is download it initially. No more listening to radio, which cuts out when data is not available. Yeah, that's what podcasting is.
Isn't it great?
It's all I listen to anymore. I do occasionally listen to music, but mostly podcasts. And I've got a list. Man, have I got a list of podcasts to get through every week. I find myself walking around with my phone on speaker and listening while I'm doing other stuff. So if I have stuff to do around the house or I'm working at my desk or whatever, I've got my phone on with the speaker blaring out podcasts. Love it.
What do you normally listen to?
All kinds of stuff. You want to hear my list for the week?
Mm-hmm.
Podcast-wise, or do you want to hear the rest, all of it?
Podcast-wise.
All right, let's have a look here. I have been listening to Sam Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to... Stephen Fry's Great Leap Years. I've just about finished that one. Something called The Future of Finance.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, I know. That's completely outside of the norm for me. I tried a new episode of something with... Who's this guy? Chris Hardwick, but I don't like it at all. So I gave up on that. Then I've got Bill Maher.
Did you hear about him?
What happened?
Now them... new male bomb threats.
To him as well?
To him, yeah.
Because he was joking in his show the other day about how he wasn't on the Democrat list, and he was very upset.
There was a suspicious package that was delivered to him, and
oh,
was addressed
shit.
To Bill Maher.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, so that's happening too.
But supposedly it turned out to be nothing, as people say.
The Daily, and yeah, that's my list for this week. Got some of the obvious ones there, but yeah, I try to mix it up.
Interesting.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to check out new ones. What are you listening to?
I'm giving another go to My Dad Wrote a Porno. It's nice background kind of stuff.
I tried that. I tried the first season, and I made it through 4 episodes. It was pretty good. I mean, it's clever.
Yeah, it's clever. It's well packaged. And sometimes I just need a bit of lighter educational stuff. Or lighter humor, entertainment.
Well, there's got to be some new stuff out there, and we're going to hopefully add to it in the next couple of days. We've got some new podcast series coming up before the end of the year. And just in case you're looking for something to listen to, Smart Money is still available and will be forever. That's the nice thing.
Great thing about podcasting.
Right. You don't have to go, while stocks last.
It's like your data bundle. It'll last for 10 days.
You'll manage. You'll be fine. So Smart Money is a series of financial tips for different life stages, whatever stage you're going through at the moment, and however your finances look. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad. You can always help yourself to some information that will let you manage things a bit better. Maya Fisher-French speaks to various experts. They will help you to find answers to your pressing financial questions. Things like financial wellness, saving for retirement, making sure you can have and get the correct health care, navigating the gig economy, saving from a millennial perspective, and how getting married affects you financially, and so much more. Smart Money is brought to you by Discovery.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're more than just a health insurer. I mean, this week they've brought Bill and David and Crooked Hillary.
That's tomorrow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's
apparently, Bill and Hillary were on SAA flight from New York yesterday.
Wow.
Guys, you know people are not scared of the killer anymore.
What do you mean the killer?
The killer. The killer could be on the same flight as them.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking
like
about?
Like, why are the killer?
The killer is always out there.
Who? What killer? You're paranoid. What are you talking about?
I'm realistic. Why aren't they flying private?
The killer could be anywhere.
What are you talking about, Sia? What kind of life do you have? You wake up in the morning, go to your house, and you're looking for the killer.
This is why I just go home,
the
lock
killer.
The doors, and
you
shut
like
my
Liv,
blinds.
Like Liv Tyler in the 90s. Neve
no,
Campbell.
I'm just saying.
Oh, the killer's out there.
It's the former... President of the United States, the former First Lady, or
he travels with he's always got Secret Service.
Yeah, but at least book out the whole of first class and let.
What are you worried about? They probably did. They didn't fly an economy. Well, Hillary might have.
I still don't want to be in a public airport if I'm the former president.
You know, you would be the most... I've said this before. If Sia ever really became very rich...
On the meeting, yes.
Or very powerful... God, he would be impossible. He would be so goddamn superior. He would separate himself. He'd have an entourage. He would fly private. He would be driven everywhere. He'd be like...
he would fully become Roger from American
Dad. Zsa Zsa Gabor. Yeah, you would. You'd be like an alien.
You would make the full transition to Roger.
No, but quite honestly, we know what sort of... times we're living in, we know that they are not the most liked people out there. We know how crazy people are in these times, and it really only takes one person with a warped idea of what to do to gain some sort of feeling or upper hand on the Clintons, and all they have to do is just just whack them over the head with a suitcase.
Kevin Cruz, yeah. The killer could be one
okay,
of the
so
villains.
We've had a successful flight, and I'm just making my way off the flight, and the Clintons on there, and I whack
what
them
is
over
it
the
like
head.
In your head?
Mm-mm. Don't want to play those games.
This isn't how the world... I'm sure people wake up with better things to do in their lives.
Than kill Bill and Hillary.
Okay.
And by the way...
Need I they, walk through...
They
walk
got here. They got here fine. They're safe as houses. What? Who knows which hotel they're staying in. But
knock on wood for this.
They're staying in the City Lodge down the road here.
Do I need to walk you guys through the Crime and Investigation Channel and what happens?
They're at the what is it, Formula One. Can you imagine if just because they were paranoid like Sia, they did check into the Formula One?
Under, like, pseudonyms.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Hill I'm all about safety, Hill but I need five stars.
Hill and Billery.
Hill and Billery. Anyway, Smart Money, if you haven't heard it yet, is brought to you by Discovery. We were on a track here. And the show plays out live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. All 12 episodes are available on cliffcentral.com, on the Cliff Central app, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Smart Money, brought to you by Discovery, getting your money right for your life. Mm-hmm. All right, do you want to pay attention to some news?
Yes.
If you like checking out what the five things are that you need to know today. Well, let's get into it. First of all, turns out Patricia DeLille was quite dodgy.
Yes, crooked Patricia.
I mean, who knew, right? I was on her side.
Oh, the DA knew.
Oh, clearly. Maybe we should give them some credit after all, because I was being so rude about them while they were going after her. I said, oh, they're being, you know, they're making a big mistake here. She should be a political ally. She's been a good mayor. Well, yeah. City of Cape Town Speaker Dirk Smit has confirmed he's had a formal criminal complaint laid against outgoing Mayor Patricia DeLille and Brett Herron, who is a mayor's committee member. In a short statement on Tuesday, he explained the action is in line with the council's resolution taken in the wake of the Bowman's reports. DeLille has consistently denied any wrongdoing and said she's prepared to go to court to clear her name. The law must now follow its course on these matters accordingly, and the SAPS will receive our full support while conducting their investigation. I mean, this is a criminal investigation now, so there are very, very serious consequences for Patricia.
And today's her last day in office.
Yeah, there we were.
You kind of think the DA just wants to be loved and be popular, right?
Yeah, they're desperate
for that. So they would never want to shoot themselves in the foot unless there was a good reason, and that's what it felt like. So maybe we should have had more faith.
Maybe we should have paid some attention to them. I don't know. Not immediately have jumped to the conclusion that they were putting their foot in their mouth.
They didn't know where they were, Arthur or Martha.
Give them some credit. So there was this story in the news yesterday that everybody was talking about on social media. This guy, this lawyer, Mihalik.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Who's that?
He was a lawyer for some of the Cape Town gangsters.
And then he got killed by?
He was shot. He was shot dead, and his 8-year-old son was wounded outside Redham House School in Greenpoint on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just unreal. His teenage daughter managed to get out of the car when a suspect on foot opened fire. South African Police Service anti-gang unit detectives have been interrogating a suspect. It's just unbelievable. He was supposed to come and see me on my birthday, said his father. This is Mihalik's father, which is on Friday. He went through some difficult times, but he stopped drinking. He suggests unnatural deaths are not new for the family, as his own wife and late son's wife committed suicide. What an unhappy family. I feel so bad for these children. Can you imagine being a kid and you're dropped off at school and someone shoots your dad dead?
Right in front of you.
Where do you even go from there? How do you begin to make sense of that? And what kind of... That child is going to be so damaged.
Oh, it's God
the kids. The kid's mother, she committed suicide, right?
Mm. Wow.
So now they don't have a mom and they don't have a dad. And this is what happens when you get involved. Even as a lawyer, and by the way, lawyers are allowed to represent anyone. It doesn't mean you back them up. It doesn't mean you support them in everything they do. They deserve representation just like anyone else. And this guy represented a couple of dodgy gangsters, and then he got caught up in all of this. So he was shot dead outside his son's school. What a horrible story. Peter Mihalik. It's the first time I've ever heard his name. I'm not really aware of him being in the news before this. But apparently a well-known guy in Cape Town. And
well, you know, there's been some gang issues in Cape Town for the last couple of years now.
Well.
Because there's been power shifts and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, these things have been happening. This is more high profile and a lot more brazen than previous things.
Feel terrible for these kids.
Yeah. Mm.
What a horrible, horrible story for these children. And then the city of Ekurhuleni has suspended their chief financial officer. Here's another story about just a mess. So the city of Ekurhuleni said that it had taken the decision to suspend their group chief financial officer, chartered accountant Gugu Malaza, following last week's council meeting. Phakamile Mbengashe, who is the spokesperson for the Ekurhuleni mayor, said that Malaza was suspended pending the finalization of an investigation into alleged non-disclosure of information regarding her dismissal from the SABC. Yeah, we've got to stop recycling bad people.
Yeah.
This happened with Ben Gubane. It happened with Molefe, Brian Molefe. It keeps happening with these politically connected people. They get a job at one place, then they destroy it, and like a locust, they move on to the next place and destroy that. We've got to stop recycling dirty, filthy comrades. And I'm not saying that that's the case here with Malaza. I don't know her name at all. But she was allegedly recommended for the plum job behind closed doors in the only ANC-controlled metro in Gauteng, despite opposition parties rejecting the proposal for her appointment. So it sounds like they had good reason for opposing her appointment, but the ANC just steamrolled and pushed her in, and she was suspended on Monday because she's been involved in dodgy dealings. She was dismissed from the SABC in 2014 for procurement and financial irregularities. So how can you get another job if that's what you're fired for? How does this happen?
How does the interview process work?
It's like the more crooked you are, the more likely you are to find re-employment once you get caught. Oh no, she got caught with her hand in the cookie jar.
Like, is there an alternative LinkedIn for comrades?
Must be. Like, it's like an evil LinkedIn.
You've been endorsed for stealing. 17 likes. Okay, this is our man.
Well, this is the perfect one for the city of Ekurhuleni.
Aye, aye, aye.
While we're on issues to do with politics and the result of bad politics and politicians making bad decisions, South Africa's unemployment rate has risen to 27.5% in the third quarter. Now, this is not good news. Risenga Maluleke, who's the Statistician General of South Africa, announced SA's official unemployment rate increased by 0.3 of a percentage point. Look, it's tiny, but it's still an increase rather than a decrease, right? Now sits at 27.5%. South Africa has 38 million people of working age. 16.4 million people are employed, 6.2 million are unemployed, and 15.4 million are not economically active.
Mm.
That's only 16.4 million people in South Africa are employed.
Wow.
We have a population of 54 million, 55 million people. 16.4 million are employed. 6.2 million are unemployed. 15.4 million are not economically active. And then the rest is made up by children and the elderly. You know, people who can't work. Ahead of the announcement, the NKC African Economics Group told Reuters the official South African unemployment rate will probably remain close to 27% in Q3 due to weak growth, continued policy uncertainty, and a lack of measures to boost employment. And who do we lay the blame for those three things at? The feet of government. I'm afraid there's no one else who can be blamed.
It's only them, really.
All right. And then finally, some petrol price relief predicted for November.
What, as in there's no increase? Or just stay the same?
Yeah, I mean, don't count your chickens.
But like right now, we just wouldn't mind a small increase. That's
anything. Yeah, we would take whatever we can get. But it turns out that motorists who drive petrol-powered cars can look forward to some price relief at the pumps early November, but those operating diesel vehicles are set to be hit with yet another increase. It now costs me over 1,000 rand for a tank.
Well, with diesel, you got to phase it out.
I've got to.
What was it normally?
I just got to sell this car. You know, it used to be maybe 800 on a really big week. Mm. Now I'm filling up my car maybe once a week, sometimes a little more, sometimes less. 1,000 rand a time.
Jeez. Yeah, I've also gone to buy 200 rand, give or take.
That's hectic. I don't know how many people can handle this. If you consider how many people spend the majority of their salary just to get to and from work.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. Anyway, those are the five things you need to know today. Some very harsh realities. Not the kind of news I like to wake you up with, but there's no point pretending it isn't happening. All right, let's get over it. Find out from Ben what's happening in the sport. By the way, Bitcoin, $6,307. Ethereum at $196. Ben, what do you got for us?
It's 17 days to Mzansi Super League. Roger Federer, 99th title. And the NFL and their journeys to London.
Still don't know what this Mzansi Super League is.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. have no idea.
The Mzansi Super League. It is the T20 Showpiece League of South African cricket. It kicks off in 16 days' time, so it'll take place from the 16th of November to the 16th of December. Get your tickets now. That's not a live read. That's just me telling you what to do. Because if you go to ticketpros.co.za, the Summer Showpiece, which is the Mzansi Super League, is something you can attend. So the first round of matches, Friday the 16th of November, this will be a nighttime game at Cape Town. It'll be the Cape Town Blitz, that's Nolo's team, versus the Swane Spartans, which is CS team. Then on the Saturday, same day, no wait, sorry, the Friday the 16th, I'm so excited here. Friday the 16th, that's your first game.
All right.
Then the Saturday, and this will take place at Wanderers, so I'll be there. 11 o'clock daytime game, Jersey Stars, my team, versus the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants, which no one has actually in our team. Then Sunday, 18th of November, 11 o'clock, Durban Heat, Leanne's team, will be taking on Nolo's team, the Cape Town Blitz, 11 o'clock on Sunday. And then Sunday at 7 o'clock, Paul Rock's, Gareth's team, will be taking on the Twane Spartans, CS team.
Yeah, I still don't know how I ended up with someone called the Paul Rocks.
Well, we all drew straws. Yeah, and
I wasn't
here.
You
got the Paul Rocks. So that is your first weekend of Mzansi Super League. So yesterday was announced the prize fund. So if you are the winning team in the Mzansi Super League, you win 7 million rand. And the runner-up will get 2.5 million. That's pretty cool, huh? And then obviously if you're a man of the match, you will also get a nice prize. You'll get 15,000 rand. And if you are the MSL T20 player of the series, you'll get 100,000 rand. Credit to CSA where they're finding this money, because this is obviously they're investing heavily in getting this started without major sponsors.
Well, the T20 used to be sponsored by the Guptas in the old days.
Well, there was the New Age team.
Yeah.
And then with the Ram Slam thing, which was a huge success until Patch Leather Jacket started to appear. But yeah, credit to Cricket South Africa. They're trying to make something. They're trying to make something here. They're getting it going. So what we as the cricketing public, the sporting public, or even at large, the South African public,
yeah,
to get behind this, to make sure that there is something to look forward to every year in the cricket, because Proteas test series and tours and that kind of stuff are hit and miss. You can get Australia one year, Bangladesh the next, whereas the Mzansi Super League is for life.
If you say
so.
All
our teams.
All right.
All of our teams.
Ben's very excited about this. 16, the rest of us, not so much.
16 days to Mzansi Super League.
All right.
The MSL. It's for everyone, people. It's for everyone.
Okay.
Speaking of the rugby, this weekend, obviously a huge deal. It's the England versus SA test at Twickenham. It's outside of the international window, so all the overseas-based box cannot play. Now, Franco Mostert, the lock, who is pretty much your first choice, number five, I guess, going into the World Cup next year. Now, there's this huge power battle around, is he going to be a Lions player or is he going to play for, I think it's Gloucester. And the Gloucester thought they signed him, Lions were then going to fight it. And then Rusty Erasmus just said, look guys, we're not going to screw around with this kind of stuff. He is a Gloucester player. We could probably get him out of this just for this weekend to come play. But let the guy be. He's made a professional decision to go play in England. So let him acquaint himself with his new team and not ruffle any feathers there. So there'll be no Franco Mostert this weekend. Of course, no Faf de Klerk either. He's pretty much played all season at scrum off. He's been the guy to go to, and he was so good against England when England toured here in June. So no scrum off and lock. These are key players in the team this year. But it's good because we need more players to come through. But we'll get into that more tomorrow and Friday, of course, when we know what the team is. We can start speculating wildly on outcomes. But Jake Wyatt, who often is, he's very outspoken, and his opinions obviously... Well, people do say he's a polarizing character, but he does speak a lot of sense. And he says that it's not a bad call if Rusty Erasmus does become the coach of the Bulls. Now, Rusty, who's already got 75 jobs through SA Rugby, has denied becoming the new Bulls coach, but he will be part of the selection process, as in who will be the coach. But Jake White, who, of course, is the ex-BOC World Cup winning coach and all-round rugby man, he believes it's not a bad thing. Like Michael Checker, who back in Australia were decent, they made the last World Cup final, he was still coach of the Waratahs while being coach of the Wallaby team. Now, the Waratahs were the main sort of provider of players to the national setup there. So if you've got a guy who's working with key players throughout the season, obviously it's beneficial in the interest of BOC rugby. Now, we looked at Dwayne Vermeulen has just signed for the Bulls to play next Currie Cup season. Then you've got Andre Pollard, you've got Jesse Creel, you've got Archias Sneyman, Trevor Nyokani, Lota Yaga, Warwick Gallant. There's a fair amount of talent still in this Bulls team. They're not completely shit. So if Rusty will be involved with this, he might be able to work on a few combinations, which will work with a few players more intimately. Mm-hmm. And any preparation that they can get ahead of the World Cup is a bonus. Any additional preparation, that is.
Sure.
So, Rusty might have another job. Another. We talk about employment.
He seems to be getting all the jobs.
Hasn't grown this last quarter. It's because Rusty's got 75
of them. Rusty's taking all of them, yeah.
Rusty's got all the jobs.
We could halve that unemployment rate just by redistributing Rusty's jobs.
Yeah. Just expropriate Rusty's portfolio.
Sure.
Yeah, but look, we've got to box smart with these things. That's what it comes down to. Take away the egos, and what are you going to do? Get Nollis back in the job. Yeah. I'd rather have Rusty, even if it's more part-time and strategic, than have Nollis.
Where's Nollis these days?
I don't know, Gareth. He's probably still in the system. He's still got stuff to add.
Okay.
Roger Federer, over this past weekend, recorded his 99th ATP Tour title. 99.
Sure.
That is so good.
Got to go for the 100th.
So good. But of course, he started out just being a ball boy. He was just a ball boy like anyone else in Switzerland.
Shows you, huh?
And he's loved tennis, and he wanted to be a part of it. So what he's actually got this whole like sort of routine that when he wins, he has like a pizza party for the ball boys and girls at an event. So this the Swiss indoors. Now, where Roger's been in the last, and we've been saying it for so long because it always made sense, but we can't keep saying it. But he doesn't know when how much longer he's going to be playing.
Yeah.
So every win now is extra special. So he had another one of the pizza parties with the ball boys and ball girls from the Swiss indoors. And he said it's just so special because this was him. For 2 years, he worked at this event as a ball boy, just wanting to get to that next level, wanting to be a pro tennis player. And who knows, there could be other kids who are now going to follow in his footsteps, which is just the great thing about sport, is that you do have positive aspirations when you're around sport and sporting people like this.
Hmm.
Speaking of sport crossing all kinds of boundaries and levels, you know that only 3 of the 32 teams in the NFL have not played a game in London.
Only three.
How amazing is that, huh?
That's pretty good.
So every year they take some games out there, and just shows how incredibly successful this league is. Now we talk about the Mzansi Super League,
sure,
and what it takes to build a sporting league, what it takes to grow a league, and how difficult it is. The NFL as a product is just so incredible that they can go and play games in another country. Imagine that, huh? Of course, London's a very international city, so it's not like they're going to Blackpool,
sure,
or Burnley or something like that. So, you know, if you go to London, you will get international fans, people who understand the NFL, who are NFL fans. So, whoever you take out there, it's a huge spectacle. They go to Wembley, and they pack out Wembley. That's how big it is. And the new Spurs Stadium, which is going to be 62,000 in capacity, they are going to host 2 games next year.
And England is really a rugby country.
Or football country.
They don't
soccer.
Football and rugby, but I mean, they don't understand American football at all, but they seem to enjoy going to watch the matches.
Well, England's a sports country. That's what it comes down to. I mean, in the 4 days of summer...
Good point.
In the 4 days of summer, they watch the cricket. If you went to... You went to a good school.
4 days of summer.
If you went to a good school and you put your jersey around your shoulders, and you wear boat shoes, you like rugby, and yeah, ultimately if you have a pulse, you watch football there, soccer. So now the NFL is a nice mix, nice added extra. It could be quite cool to see these kind of things travel the world. But this is your prime example of how when you get sport and business just right, the NFL has just got it. It's appealing. It's exciting. You get these guys to come out and travel the world. In cricket, the SA team is obviously in Australia at the moment because they're about to play the Shackle Dragons in what will be an interesting series, seeing as those guys are still in turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
This week, the basic people who represent the players of Australian cricket were moaning about the fact that those guys who got banned for sandpaper in their jocks, they've suffered enough and they've repented and
we must forgive them.
And they must forgive them and they must get back into it. But like, these guys had the best off season break ever. They haven't had to go play shitty teams like Bangladesh or go play Pakistan in the UAE. So they've had this great break of Steve Smith, David Warner and Cameron Sandcroft.
Bancroft,
sorry. And now they're saying, well, now we've got decent opposition. We've got obviously like Pakistan are coming home. That's gonna be a big home series. Sorry, India home series is huge. They've got the South Africans now in the ODIs, and next year we've got the Ashes. So suddenly, there's games people want to play again, and they're like, oh, they've suffered enough. We must get them back in the mix. Also, if they don't have the best players for these series, they are going to get absolutely trousered by the better teams. Speaking of getting a thrashing, jeepers, how the hell did this happen? South Africa are playing against the Prime Minister's 11, which back in the day were a couple of drunks who could play a bit, but obviously now in the professional era, they're decent players. But even so, this isn't a great team. And South Africa
Which Prime Minister?
Australia's Prime Minister.
Oh. He chooses
Prime Minister's 11.
Does he choose them?
No.
Are these his mates?
No, but he might. In the past it was.
All right, let's go. Come on, guys. Let's go take on the South Africans.
In the past, it might have been like that, but now he's...
fat politicians.
No, he probably doesn't even watch it. He might have a few tinnies with him afterwards, but not probably in open air. And it's taking place in Canberra, and South Africa currently 130-7
yeah.
in the first over. De Kock and Hendricks both got ducks. Markham got a decent 47.
Sure.
Miller has just gone for 45. There was no Bayardine time today, faced all of one ball. So they're down the dunny straight away on this tour. Stanley Rabada at the crease currently, 131-7.
I like all the Australian lingo you throw in there, Ben.
Well, you know, I'm a big believer in their culture. It's something that should be recognized globally.
Prime Minister's 11.
And the final story for the day is that Donna White. Who's that, Sia?
I have no cooking clue.
Okay, very good. Donna White from the UFC has said to Floyd Mayweather... here it is.
Hang on, is this the same woman who was talking about Serena this week, about how she should be in...
No.
That was in the Stephanie. WWE.
That was Stephanie McMahon.
Sorry.
Donna White is a man.
Oh. And a man?
Donna White is the UFC man. The man of the UFC said, "You fight in the UFC." They have no... Talking about the whole Khabib versus Mayweather thing. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You fight in the UFC. Adding, there's no interest in another crossover bout like the McGregor-Mayweather one in 2017. We did it once. That's over. You want to fight... You come here to fight, a real fight. So good on you, Donna, growing some balls there, because this whole crossover thing with boxing, that's a lovely idea, but Floyd's always going to win. Whereas if we get this guy into an actual octagon, then we'll see he's not so cocky. Then he's like the money team. It'll be either shitting in his pants team if he gets into an octagon with Khabib.
I think anyone would, Ben. To be fair,
grown bears.
Sure, of course. There are Cro-Magnon men who we could resurrect from the ice. You know, like that dude they found in the bog. They could resurrect those guys and they would be terrified of Khabib.
Well, everybody in the world would be terrified to get in the ring with this guy other than his dad, because his dad still blixums him. That's a known thing. So I think this will be the last of the story that I shall bring to you, because I know it's a big story because it makes a lot of headlines, but ultimately it just looks like a whole bunch of posturing ponies saying, "Oh, let's have a boxing fight, and let's have a real fight."
Yeah.
The only
Until
way
it actually happens.
Like, I thought it'd be a decent thing to have this as a boxing fight, but Donna White makes a very good point. Is that they've done the crossover once before. UFC is a strong enough property, they don't need boxing.
No.
That's why it started, that's why it grew. Because boxing was going into the toilets. UFC were like, "Well, we got real fighters. What do you guys got? Bunch of cokeheads and a bunch of strange people with dancers."
Right.
And that is all your sport for today.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. Let's get to Sia. What do you got for us today?
Social media does end up doing some good some of the time.
Yeah?
Because of a 19-year-old based in Cape Town, her name is Lungi Lengidi, was seeing all of the responses to the Khayelitsha fires and took to Twitter to make some sort of positivity out of the situation. And they've done extraordinary good. So Lungile actually tagged one of our own, Dumi Sole from Country Duty.
Yes.
Because she was inspired to support the people of Khayelitsha by creating a campaign for donations. Mm-hmm. So she says that, "I was inspired by news reports which are covering this tragedy and one distraught person who had lost everything they own in the fire even. So this disaster really pulled on my heartstrings, and the number of people affected were too many to ignore. So I felt like I had to do something." So Lungile, along with Country Duty, were able to band up together on Twitter. And so far, as of a campaign they started on the 23rd of October, they've raised 25,653 rands, just based off people who are generously donating.
Well, these are just ordinary people who've given a little bit.
That's it. Oh. So what they're planning to do with the money thus far is to set up food parcels. Each of these food parcels cost about 120 rands each. So if you do the maths, if you minus the 4 and hold the 1, so far with what they've created, the total will give back to the community 213 food parcels that will go back to the families who've been left distraught after the Khayelitsha fires. And this is one way, I guess, that people who are affected by this can begin to really rebuild their lives. 4,000 people overall were displaced in Khayelitsha. You think about that. Those are 4,000 people who need to go to work, kids who are now affected by school.
4,000 people who lived in such a dense area together, right on top of each other. I mean, that's just inhumane.
Yeah.
of how many people live like that in this country. It makes me sad.
Just think about that one picture I think we've all seen by now.
Of that burnt out.
The aerial shot of the Khayelitsha homes that were burned down then. But, you know, it's only been, what, 8 days since this campaign started, and already generous people have raised more than 25,000 rand, and all from one 19-year-old who felt like they wanted to do something.
Well,
that's really extraordinary.
Yeah, country duty get a lot of heat from people. A lot of people don't like them. A lot of people love what they're doing. And Tumi and the crew there, they sometimes do these things which don't get as much publicity, that are probably deserving of more.
Mm.
Awesome stuff.
Just in conclusion, Lungile says, you don't have to be personally affected by an event in order to try to help. As humans, it's in our nature to feel empathy and want to help others. That's what Ubuntu is all about.
Very good.
Yeah, that's something to think about today.
Thank you, Sia.
That's just it by Sia for this morning.
Good. Whatever you're up to this morning, keep it on cliffcentral.com. We will be entertaining you and hopefully informing you and hopefully inspiring you through the course of your morning. We've got Zolani Mahola, who is from Freshly Ground, joining us on the phone in just a short while. She's about to start a collaboration with the guys from Goldfish. Very exciting.
Dave and Dom.
Double D.
That's right. We haven't had them in here, have we? Got to talk to those guys. I keep bumping into them internationally.
They're based in America.
Yeah, they're all over the world. I keep seeing them at American events. It's amazing. They're such talented dudes. And the last time I saw them perform was in Cape Town last year. And as usual, they were terrific. God, they're good. Yeah, you could go to a party and they start playing and everybody loves it.
Yeah, weren't they at South by Southwest with you?
Yeah, 2, maybe 3 years ago. They were there and I was like, what are you guys doing here? They were like, well, what are you doing here?
They moved to West Coast.
Nice. That's very good.
But that's just because their music is so universally accepted that they can actually make that move. Like, they're not going there to try a certain, like, try getting a few gigs here and there. Like, they go
or
there
try to sing Steve Hofmeyr songs.
And that they still dictate that what they do and where they go.
Yeah, good for them. So we'll speak to Zolani and find out, because she's another one. Freshly Ground and their sound is very international, and it's got a nice spice of locality as well. But we'll speak to her about her new chapter, which she's opening up. I love talking to Zolani. And coming up in a short while, we'll also find out about some new businesses that Alpha Code have been helping. You know, last week we spoke to two of the businesses. This week we'll find out about two more. These are small startups that Alpha Code has decided they're going to help shepherd into success, and we'll see exactly how they're doing it in a short while. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. It's going to be a busy Wednesday on cliffcentral.com. Now, I mentioned I had a dream about Tina, so I've got to play a Tina song for you this morning. You want one?
Sure.
Sure. Let's go old school. Let's do some retro. All right? What a great woman this is. Tina Turner. 7 o'clock. Retro, baby.
CliffCentral.com.